Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Currency Exchange, a weekly podcast from NatWest Markets all about foreign exchange markets. I'll be your host today, Brian Dangerfield, and alongside Paul Robson, who's also joining on today's podcast, we co-head G10 FX Strategy here at NatWest. So it's a big week ahead in foreign exchange markets, especially in major economies. We not only have a lot of data, but we also have key central bank decisions coming up from the U.S. Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of England. So, Paul, I'd like to start with the Bank of England. You know, looking ahead to next week, certainly expectations for the Bank of England to continue hiking the policy rate, but markets are now pricing in rate cut expectations by the end of this year. How are you thinking about sterling going into and coming through the Bank of England next week?
Well, I think the first thing to note is that sterling has had a positive correlation with rate spread. So higher rates, stronger currency. Now, that's normally what you'd expect. It's fairly common across the major economies. But late last year, sterling was actually very, very weak when interest rates, whether it's bond markets or the policy rate or expectations, was moving higher because people were worried about the sort of supply side unfunded tax cuts. So I think it's just worth noting that traditional correlations have now reasserted. So if you get a hawkish surprise, you know, sterling should go up. If you get a dovish surprise, it should weaken. In terms of the decision itself, our economists are looking for a dovish 50 basis point hike. The dovishness around it might come through the vote count, maybe not unanimous support for the 50 basis point hike, maybe someone voting for unchanged rates, maybe someone votes for 25. And then also just the overall guidance around the policy decision and what we should expect going forward might just lean a little bit dovishly. We heard recently from the chief economist at the Bank of England, Hugh Peel, who said that there was starting to see signs of softness in the labour market, which were key for sort of the persistence of inflation. But I don't think there's a huge scope to push it too far because equally, Governor Bailey didn't really push back on market pricing recently. That was in sharp contrast to the previous meeting where he implied that markets were pricing in too much tightening. And as your question or your intro suggested, Brian, markets are pretty dovishly priced. They moved to price in a 25 basis point cut by the end of this year. That's not actually unusual across the major central banks at the moment, most obviously the Fed, but there's a series of central banks that are markets have priced cuts. But it does show that the hurdle for a dovish surprise and a weaker sterling is probably relatively high. We're not really expecting monetary policy to be a permanent driver of the currency this year. We think that there's other factors like the external deficit and the risk premium that's applied to sterling and other macro assets, which we think will ultimately be the key driver over a sort of multi-quarter basis.
Thanks, Paul. I was wondering if you could go into a little bit more detail on some of those medium-term drivers, because you know we like to focus a lot on central banks in the near term, but you know there's obviously other factors that can drive the currency. So if you can touch on some of those factors, that'd be great.
Yeah, so in terms of those sort of medium-term drivers of the currency, we think they center around lower energy prices. And the key takeaway here, I think, is that lower energy prices, wholesale prices, future prices, have a more immediate impact on the currency than they do, say, on growth expectations, inflation, and crucially for the bond market, government borrowing expectations, because they move the needle on the current account, the external deficit. And we've already seen that. The UK's deficit in fuel has come back really quite quickly as energy prices have slipped back. There's other reasons for thinking the external deficit is going to be in a much better position. It's still a sizable deficit, but in a much better position than markets expect. And what we've observed at NatWest is that the sterling dollar exchange rate has tracked market expectations for that deficit for this year. So we think that that's important. And the other point is the risk premium in the currency associated with energy prices. So energy prices could have been sharply higher than where they are today And I think markets saw the risks around the UK economy heavily skewed to the downside. Now, energy prices have fallen. The balance of risks around the UK has shifted, sort of more evenly distributed. And that implies a lower risk premium applied to the currency. And key here is we don't think that the dynamics in the external balance and the risk premium are fully reflected in the current price. And that's why we think that maybe sterling dollar up to, say, 130 by the spring may be a reasonable expectation.
Thanks, Paul. So I'd like to move on to continental Europe now, because you talked about some of the improvement in energy prices. That's not just a UK exclusive story. That's also a Europe story. We also have an ECB decision coming up. How, compare and contrast for me, the ECB against the Bank of England. What are we thinking in terms of rate decision and also guidance from the ECB?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, actually. On the headline, the policy change, our economists expect the ECB to do exactly the same as the Bank of England, lift rates by 0.5%. And that's broadly what markets are expecting. Where the difference will lie, I think, will be in the guidance. I spoke about the dovish guidance from the Bank of England. And we actually think it's going to be relatively hawkish guidance from the ECB. And they've certainly been doubling down on the hawkish guidance that they gave at the previous meeting. So you had Lagarde pretty much saying that people should revisit their positions. And we also had a set of hawkish minutes. So there was a discussion at the last meeting where they raised rates ultimately by 50 basis points, where they discussed possibly raising them by 75 basis points. And the council decided to raise rates by 0.5%, provide details about QT, and sound hawkish in terms of the guidance. And that together was seen to be the same as a 75 basis point hike. So hawkish guidance from the ECB in contrast to the Bank of England. But again, relative to the market, I think markets have moved a long way in terms of pricing that hawkish take for the ECB. So again, it might be quite hard for the euro to rally much if we get that hawkish hike, 50 basis point hike.
So looking beyond the ECB, do you think this overall picture where the ECB is sounding hawkish but may struggle to out-hawk the market, do you think this is still a positive and supportive environment for euro-dollar, for example?
Yeah, we do. We think that euro-dollar up to 115, for example, again, is a reasonable expectation. We observe that rate spreads have been important for the euro-dollar exchange rate. And we'll move on in a moment to the other side of this, which is the Fed and the dollar, which obviously you'll cover off. But we also note that it's moving with growth expectations. And one of the proxies that we have here at NatWest for that is the difference between German Bund yields and where they're currently trading in France and Italy. And that spread tends to move with growth expectations, a little bit about political risk as well, which we find equally useful at certain times. And we think that growth expectations are moving in favour of the euro for very similar reasons that we think that sterling does relatively well, the risk premium. And you're seeing it in this week's PMIs and just overall sentiment that growth is going to hold up better than markets probably expected just a few months ago. So you take all that together, rates are still moving in favour of the euro, and ultimately we think that euro dollar trades higher. And that actually may be the perfect segue to bring it back to the dollar and the Fed. Obviously, we've got the FOMC decision. From my side, I think it's interesting that we've talked about the ECB going 50, Bank of England going 50. Looks like markets are around 25 from the FOMC. It's been a long time since European central banks have sort of outgunned the Fed. So just interested in your thoughts about where you're seeing the Fed for next week.
Well, that's right. It certainly has been a while, hasn't it? But it looks very likely at this point that the Federal Reserve is going to downshift its pace of tightening to deliver a 25 basis point rate hike at its February 1st meeting. A lot of the maybe interest and intrigue in the specifics of 50 versus 25 was pretty much answered already by the plurality of the economic data, the inline with expectation CPI and some softer than expected survey data, retail sales data, and some other data points really pushed that that discussion definitively towards 25 basis points. And maybe the more interesting or just as interesting piece of this is that Federal Reserve officials have not been aggressively pushing back against market pricing, which has gone, which has loosened pretty significantly. You mentioned the Bank of England market, expecting Bank of England to cut policy rates later this year. They're also looking at the same outlook for the Fed, pricing a lower peak Fed funds rate than the Fed has in its own economic projections, and also odds of rate cuts increasing as you move later in 2023. So the decision itself is maybe a bit less interesting than the message that the Fed tries to send via its statement and its press conference. Remember, next week is not going to be a quarterly meeting where we have new dot plot or new economic forecasts. So a lot of the market reaction is probably going to come down to the tone Chair Powell takes at his press conference following the meeting. So you could sort of, if you take a couple of extreme examples, if Powell were to come out and say, the market is definitively wrong in their expectations and they need to revise their positions, really, to quote Lagarde, that could be taken in a hawkish direction as the Fed really stepping up its pushback against the market, which has been eager to price towards more dovish outcomes later this year. On the alternative side, on an extreme kind of dovish scenario, you could think about what the Bank of Canada did at their meeting in January, where they said, they hiked by 25 basis points and said, if our outlook is maintained, we don't expect to have to hike anymore. Basically, that was a very clear signal that their hiking cycle was done. The Federal Reserve seems very unlikely to do that, but I bring that up just to illustrate the importance of the guidance around the move being perhaps more important than the specifics of the move, with the market very, very confident in what the specifics of the move will be. So a wide range of potential outcomes. I think the expectation is that Powell tries to push back against the market pricing that has turned a lot more dovish recently. But a lot of his colleagues have had opportunities to give that more decisive pushback, but haven't done so in their comments before the meeting. And so there's certainly going to be some questions to if Powell tries to push back, and if he tries to push back hard, will the market believe him?
Yeah, it does feel like it's going to be down to Powell like normal, and to the extent to which he pushes back. We'd sort of talked about the euro tracking rate spreads and sterling re-engaging with rate spreads. So just wondering how you think about the dollar through that meeting, but then also beyond that, and equally, where do you think the dollar's heading over the next couple of months?
So thinking about the dollar, I think it's important to take a step back here beyond just what the Fed does or does not do at its meeting in February, and think about some of the broader drivers of the dollar. Relative monetary policy is certainly one of those, but you also have relative growth. When you think about 2022 was a year when relative monetary policy was pushing aggressively in favor of the dollar as the Fed was moving its policy rate up very significantly and quicker. And it was really setting the pace for a lot of other global economies. Now, clearly, the Fed is in a downshifting mode. We are heading towards more of a maintenance period in the Fed cycle. And the shift down from 50 basis points prior to 25 basis points as expected at the February meeting is really just a piece of that wider narrative, which is we think the Fed is providing less support for the dollar from here as the Fed cycle shifts into maintenance mode. But of course, the Fed is not the only driver of the dollar. You also have relative growth, and those expectations have also moved against the dollar. You think about last year in 2022, when you had expectations of stronger economic growth in the US and weakness abroad coming from China's zero COVID policies weighing on Chinese growth. And you also had the energy crisis being particularly negative for growth expectations in Europe. What you've seen now is not only do you have some weaker economic data in the US, but you also have, as you have mentioned, Paul, lower energy prices in Europe, I think has been quite significant in kind of clipping some of that extreme pessimism in Europe. At the same time, the very rapid reopening from zero COVID policy in China has also been significant. And some of the stories that we've seen coming out of China for the Lunar New Year period, which we know is very important for consumer spending in China, have been encouraging. Things like very strong tourism numbers or high box office spending from China for the Lunar New Year. Those kinds of things are encouraging for growth going forward, not just for China, but for the world as a whole. And so that combination of factors, the Fed providing less positive, less of a support for the dollar in combination with some shifting of relative growth expectations, we think those are both negative drivers for the dollar. Now we will see if Powell does try and deliver a strong pushback against market pricing next week. And if he does, maybe that's an opportunity for some of the enthusiasm over the weaker dollar to take a step back, at least temporarily. But we think the medium-term trajectory is probably still negative for the dollar from here. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for listening. And thank you very much, Paul, for joining us. If you liked this podcast, please consider liking and subscribing to our channel for additional NatWest Markets strategy content. Thank you very much.